Okay, we're now beginning tape two with Vramshabu Pashayan. And today is July 7th, 1994. Mr. Pashayan, you were just talking about we got you to Corfu. You finally made it to Corfu. And you stayed there about 3 years?
I joined the school about approximately 3 years. Then in the meantime, my aunt and her family had moved to France from Turkey. They were very poor, but anyway, they managed to send me some francs, and I wanted to join them in France. So in order to go to France, because they didn't have any French consul on Corfu Island, I had to go to Brindisi, Italy, to get my visa to France. But luckily, in the meantime, there was a whole school of orphans being moved to France, to Marseille, France. And I took a passage with them. I paid my way with them. And I met my sister in Marseille, France. She was working in somebody's house there. Then I stayed there in Marseille about 3 days. Then I took the train to Paris. In Paris, I went to join my family, my aunt. I had two aunts.
Tell me what it was like for you, who've seen so much of the Mediterranean world. What was Paris like? What was different in Paris than what you had been used to?
Everything is, scenery is beautiful, but we're still broke. Don't forget, here I am, 600 francs in a hole already. And it was tough to get a job. Well, I managed to get a job in a metallurgical factory.
What kind of factory?
Metallurgic. They used to make wires. And I worked there maybe a year or so, then there was unemployment again, so I was laid off. I tried to do it, tidbits of job here and there. Once I got a job in Paris itself, before I was working in Alfortville, and I got a job in Paris itself, but the trouble was, I had to get up 5 o'clock in the morning, walk to the train station, that's about half a mile or more, then get off in Paris, take the subway, change the subway, then walk about a mile to the factory. So this went on for a few weeks. I said, this is not worth it, so I quit.
Was there a large Armenian population in Paris?
Oh yeah, Paris was, even before the World War I, anybody wanted to go someplace, it was Paris, you know. Because don't forget, the United States was too far.
Right, Paris is very international.
Paris, yeah, and from Istanbul take a train to go to Paris.
Well, how was it that you finally decided that you wanted to come to the United States?
Well, as I told you, my sister got married with someone from the United States. She moved.
Where did she meet this person?
Actually, it was done through friends to meet. So he came down there. They liked each other. She married him, and they moved. First, they moved to South Atzelik, I guess, because they had a farm there.
To where?
South Atzelik. It's New York State. It's about 50 miles from here. You know the place? I've been there a few times. Well, anyway, it was a nice, clean village. Well, then she told me about who she met. So it's all I had in this world. I had was a sister left. So what'd you do? You tried to come here. So,
what did you know about America before you got here? Growing up in Turkey and Syria and France and all the places you've been, what did you know about America?
Well, we knew quite a bit. We knew more than you think. We knew quite a bit. we knew was freedom for one thing. And we knew that no matter where you go, you had to work for a living. So we were not afraid to work. And I came here. It was a hard time to get a visa. Very hard time, but
why
I managed.
Why was it difficult to get the visa?
Oh, they passed a law here, I guess. And if I didn't have a sister here, I'd never make it. And if I didn't have the money, I'd never make it. Because it's not easy to pay so much transportation and visa fees and the special doctors you have to go see before you can get a visa. But because of my sister, I did everything I could, and I was able to fight my way to get a visa.
You had to undergo medical exams
Before the visa, after you get on board ship, they still give you an examination because they don't want to bring you back free. Then after you get off and just before you get off the ship, they still give you an examination. And
do you remember what you took with you from Paris when you left for the United States?
I had a suitcase that I paid 109 francs, I guess about $3-4. That's all what I could put in there. It's all a suit. I was well clothed. I had that one aunt that I lived with. She's the one that lost two beautiful sons. The Turks took them away at the Never Siege again. They killed them, as I said. Uncle Sam denies, he doesn't deny, but it says alleged massacres. But there's no alleged massacres because anybody can walk into the Congressional Library, read anything you want about those things, and it's right there, black and white. I mean, those guys are liars. Ambassador Morgenthau, in fact, his son and his grandson were very active trying to have the United States recognize this genocide. I don't know why these people are so involved with Turks. They love the Turks in Washington. I don't know why. They know how to appease. They appeal people. Oh, when they talk to them, you would talk to a Turk. Oh, they can talk such marvelously. It make you feel like you're a king. I mean, it's. But actually, don't turn your back. There's a type of a people, and these people in this country, we had this Congress Bollard here, Bollard. I wrote to him a letter once about this, about certain things. He voted for it once. And then Turkey invited these guys to visit Turkey with the whole families. They went. And the second time I wrote my letter, altogether was changed because God knows what they did to them over there.
Do you remember what time of the year it was that you left Paris?
In the fall.
It was in the autumn.
I was in Utica, October 1st.
Oh, yeah, August 20th, 1928. Is when you, where did you go to get the ship?
I took the train from Paris to Le Havre. From Le Havre, I took the ship.
Do you remember what the name of the ship was?
Île-de-France, the newest ship on float. Newest and the biggest ship afloat. I think I must have been, I could be wrong. The first they have a 6 months shakedown cruise. I wasn't on there. Then I think it was first or second transport, regular crossing on the ship.
And where did you sleep on the ship?
On a cabin, a small cabin.
Were you by yourself or were you with other people?
We had two or three other guys. A friend of mine was with me. Paris is from the same village. And was a girl, but the girl was another cubbyhole. I think it was three of us.
Do you remember how long?
One was a Spanish fellow, I think. It was hard to talk to because I don't know Spanish and he didn't know anything. I mean, I could manage at that time. I could manage Greek, French, English, of course, Armenian and Turkish and Arabic, probably. I could have, Arabic, I forgot the first. I knew a little bit. I didn't like the language. I don't know why. I just didn't want to learn. But I could manage to get by. Turkish, I'm beginning to forget completely now, which I'm glad. It's a lousy language.
How long did this ship take to get to New York?
About 5 days, I think. I think we left there the 20th. Is this over here?
On the green card, it says August 20th, I believe.
They left the ship, France?
Or, well, that's when you landed, maybe.
No. What? When? August?
It says you were at the American consulate in Paris on August 20th,
1928. That's the time I gave me the visa, probably.
Right, so it must have been later.
No, I was... I left there the 25th, I got here the 28th. Everything very fast. I mean, about 5 days or less than 5 days I got here.
Well, that was a nice boat. Do you remember arriving in New York Harbor?
Yes.
What do you remember about when the boat
arrived? Well, of course, everybody sees the Statue of Liberty first, and that makes you a good feeling. Well, as I said, I knew about the country, so I didn't expect to be utopia. You know, we have to work for a living.
Did you have to undergo any kind of examinations when you arrived in New York?
Yes, at Ellis Island, they examined me, as I said.
Do you remember specifically what happened there? Or?
Well, I got old Bob. I could manage English pretty good. I mean, I'm surprised myself that I had retained what I learned in school. In fact, I think I knew more after I left the school because I never let it go down. And in the meantime, I learned French, so I have no difficulty in... there's a lot of people who are having difficulty conversing or understanding the questions. That's why they have problems, a lot of them. And I had people waiting for me to take home. I had two families wanting me to go home with them. it was so fast for me. Now, a lot of these people stayed behind one day or two sometimes because they had nobody to go to where. And
so it was very easy for you.
Well, it was very easy for me. I had no problem. That's why I don't have much remembrance of what happened. It was so fast.
Now, you say two families are waiting for you. Your sister is one of those.
No, my sister was not there.
The two families that were waiting for you?
I had a friend there. I never met this friend, actually, but they knew me. They knew my family. He was pretty old, much older than I am. He had a restaurant on Lexington Avenue. And there's another fellow came. He was from our village. That he came to the United States before we did. And his sister was on our ship with us. We were supervising her, more or less. Last I heard, she was in California. In fact, her brother called me up one day. But I was still not retired yet in the store. He called me up. He wanted certain information about, like you asking me right now. Because she was having difficulty in Medicare or Social Security or some problem because she could not answer certain things about her, when she came or what happened. So I told him on the telephone a few things that he asked me for. That's why I know that she's in California now. In fact, he died too.
Tell me about after. With whom did you go when you left Ellis Island?
I went to this person. If you want his name.
Yes, sure.
It's kind of hard to say it in English. I mean, is that right? Mugurdich.
Can you spell it?
Where are my glasses?
Well, that's all right. We'll figure
where?
It out.
Where do you want it?
Just
any place?
Yeah, just spell it out for us. M G
Mgrdich, M-G-R-I-D-I-C-H,
and the where,
first name,
yeah.
Papazian. Papazian.
P-A-P-A-Z-I-A-N.
That's right.
And where did he take you?
He took me to their house.
Which was where?
In New York City.
It was in New York City.
Yeah, that's New York City, on Lexington Avenue, New York.
And then how long did you stay before you met up with your sister?
Well, my sister was following the ship arrivals, so she knew it was in New York. So I called her. No, she didn't have a telephone. I stayed in New York for 3 days. Then came to October 1st, came to Utica. And this family, the Utica, never met him before, of course. The wife was in a hospital for baby, and she got a boy. Hey, I was a hero, bro. Good luck, because all their families. There was quite a few of them. The Italian family. They all had girls, no boys in the family. And I came the first night. They had a boy. I became a hero.
Do you remember when you were in New York for those 3 days of what you thought about New York City? Because you've been in large cities before.
Well, I tell you the truth, first morning I got up, 5 o'clock in the morning, I went for a walk in New York City. I walked, must be walked, I don't know, to 100 some blocks. I went up and down because I knew everything is numbers, you can't mix. And as I said, I knew how to speak around if I got lost, I'd ask questions. So, you know, it's nothing like it, knowing a language more than your own extra languages. I stressed that to my kids, but they can't even speak Armenian.
Well, and that gave you a great advantage once you got here because you could speak English.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I got a job in Ilion working in this. You know anything about Ilion?
That's a town around here, I-L-I-O-N,
yeah.
I believe it is.
The name of the family owned this factory was Russell. Remember they got Russell Library, Russell Park, Russell this?
Yes.
Well, the reason I got that job was depression years already. It was hard to get a job. Before that, of course, I worked here in Utica for a month. They closed up the joint. There was a oral finishing place. There is a Willoughby's. Remember, there was a question and answered in a paper one time. I was on the way to Washington, D.C. When I got to Washington, I wrote them a letter to the OD. Tell him that I worked there. Well, anyway, I said to myself, now, they asked me if I'd done this job. I looked around what they were doing. I said, yeah, I can do that job. There's no problem. I said, it's no problem to learn that, whatever they're doing. It was rubber and polished furniture. Well, it was store fixtures, actually. It was work anyway. I said to myself, with all the experts that trade in Ilion, because in Ilion, Herkimer, they're well known for that job. I said, how come they hired me to myself? The only reason I think they did, because they was amazed that I spoke English. At that time, anybody came from the old country. In fact, the owner of the plant, the first week I worked there, their father was in a hospital, he died, Mr. Russell. The first week I worked there. Because as I said, he was in a hospital. But his son, every so often, he'd give me a ride to Utica, because I used to take a streetcar from there to over here. Twice a week almost, he used to come to Utica for the Kiwanis meeting or something, Hotel Utica there, their get together. And he used to get just thrilled at him with me, and he was trying to use his polish his French with me. I used to speak good French. In short time, I picked up so fast.
Let me just
come
ask
back
you
to
a couple.
Business.
The first job you got was the place that closed down quickly. Was that the first job you got when you came up here?
Yeah, Willoughby's was the name.
How much did you get paid?
Oh, I purchased, wasn't much. 50 cents an hour, probably.
And what was the job at Willoughby's?
It was the same thing, trying to rub and polish the body. They used to make bodies for Lincoln cars. The big Lincoln cars, 7-passenger car. We used to make the bodies for them. Not the chassis, just the body. It was aluminum top.
Was this, were a lot of immigrants hired to do this kind of work up here?
That was a big place. If they had 50 people working, it was big. Well, anybody, they needed a job. True, most of the time you got those jobs, if somebody was working there, they knew that you need another man, they recommend you, or you go yourself apply for it because you know they need men.
Well, I know we could talk all day. I think. I know Bob and I have to have another appointment, but I do want to ask you, were there any things that your mother and father taught you, philosophies that they had, that have carried you throughout your whole life? Things that they instilled in you as a child that have been important
to
you?
Well, they didn't have to do that. They just by seeing them work, how much they care for you, those are the things that you remember, nothing else. You don't. They never, this is only written in books, the advice. My father gave me advice before he died. I guess he felt that he might die, you know, how to behave and so forth. Well, I was always a good kid anyway. I used to get, as I said, once in a while, like even in a school, not even in the orphanage. They didn't want to call it orphanage, but it still was an orphanage. But if somebody stayed out on my toes, I didn't give a damn. I just fought back. Like, for instance, one week I was in charge of the tables. And she has always told us that our boys can eat as much as they can eat. And every so often she used to go to England to raise money, bring to support the school. So that week she was not at school. And this lady's in charge of this food business. I said to one lady, when you eat beans, it makes you eat bread. I said, mother, so-and-so, I said, how about another loaf of bread? I said, the boy's hungry. She said, they got enough. Oh, that blew my head. I said, Mrs. So-and-so, I said, if you don't give me that bread, I said, I'm going to break the door down and get it. And my eyes, I guess, really turned red. I managed to get off of you know, when you're a refugee and so forth, and everybody steps on you, and when you have a chance to skip back, she got scared. So that she writes, they write a letter, her daughter's husband was the head of the school when she was, I mean, as a student, as a teacher, not as the head of the, like, Miss Noonan. So they report to Miss Noonan, write a letter to England, tell them I'm behaving. They're trying to get rid of me, you see. When she came back, she had a talk with me. No explosion for me. I think she liked me. Once she gave me like this, because I said lightly, because some teachers protested. We used to go swim in the Adriatic. It was right down the hill from us. And we had orders not to fool around in the water, just swim, play ball, whatever you wanted to throw, but no horsing around. Well, this one guy kept jumping in from the water, pushed my head down. So finally I got mad. Give him a backhand, the teacher caught me, was on the hill. Says, Mr. Pashian, come up here. I went up there, he got a nice stick in his hand. And I have a Boy Scout buckle. I said, Mr. Carrigan, his name was Carrigan, in English would be Carrigan. I said, if you touch me, I said, you're going to get this. What do you say? He didn't see what was the other guy doing. He said, the time I write it, my, I got caught. So that's when he complained to Miss Noonan. That's when he did this. I didn't talk to the poor lady for 6 months, I think.
Well, Mr. Pashayan, we need to end now, but I want to thank you very much for letting us come out.
You finished it. As I said, a bunch of the important things are the way.
This is Paul Sigrist signing off with Vram Shabu Pashayan.
Vram
Shabu. Bob Jones is also with me, and we're signing off here in Utica, New York on Thursday, July 7th, 1994. Thank you very much.
Thank you.